Friend of the Blender, correct? Episode 6. You interrupted me.
Sorry.
Interrupting Robot says...
Don't know.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall. And time goes nowhere when
hey, this is Chooch. Welcome to another episode of End of the Blender.
I'm not participating in that. I refuse. I will not. Next thing I know, you're going to have one of those little bells and a
horn.
No, I won't. I put my foot down.
Right. Good thing we're not morning DJs.
No, I don't think that would be an issue. I don't like the morning. I really don't like morning DJs, so.
Yeah, they get up at like 4 in the morning or something.
Oh, that's like sleeping in compared to my schedule last semester.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would not. You would stay up all night.
Do that well.
You'd be an overnight DJ.
Although they only, you know, work for 4 hours or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they only work 4 hours. They never do any pre-production or post-production or anything. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, babes. I'm sure you aren't going to insult anybody with that statement.
Yes, if there are any DJs out there, I apologize.
Uh-huh.
Didn't mean to offend. I just am ignorant of the subject. I don't know what goes into that type of production.
You're getting a feel for it now.
Yeah, it's something on the order of 2 hours for every 10 seconds of content.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's exaggerating a little
bit.
That's
a little exaggerated, I think.
But
probably 2 hours for an episode by the time we figure out what we want to talk about what we want to talk about it with the thing recording and then you editing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really calm, blissfully calm couple of days.
Yeah.
I finished my semester and M and T, mm-hmm. my two sons from a previous marriage, their father actually came to town to visit with them. He won't be able to visit with them during like the Christmas time, so he came out now to see them.
Yeah.
And so they were gone for the weekend, and I literally physically crashed and burned. I just collapsed into bed and really didn't get out for much other than food and game. And we didn't even go see Golden Compass, which was definitely,
yes,
that
I
was
really
a definite.
Wanted to do, yeah.
Really wanted to go, and it was one of those, I was either dizzy or headache or just physically unable and unwilling to lift myself from bed. So the weekend ended, the boys came home, and we didn't go see the movie.
Yeah, nice, quiet weekend in.
It was really wonderful and greatly, greatly needed. So it was very calm. It's the calmest thing we've had in a long time, and I would like to say that I was proven right when my semester ended, things would calm down. At least for one weekend plus 1 day, it's calmed down. We'll see. This weekend is gearing up to be quite exciting, but we'll get through.
Mm-hmm. We got the rest of the week with Christmas preparations.
Yeah. Yeah. Shopping.
Yes. Tomorrow we'll be shopping chaos day to meet the shipping deadlines.
Yes.
Without spending obscene amounts of money for shipping like we usually end up doing.
Yeah. Usually we spend half again on shipping for what we send to Jay, your son, on the West Coast.
Try to get it there in time.
Yeah. So we're trying to cut our shipping fees a little bit this year, because usually it's pretty expensive, and it's like, well, gosh, we could have bought them a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're going to knock out shopping for the people that we mail things to, which is your side of the family. My cousin had a new baby, so we're sending off something for her, and just your family, basically,
because
all my people are here. So our conversation with friends sparked a topic that you wanted to talk about tonight. So why don't you expand on that?
Yeah. A few weeks ago, some friends that we talked to online, or that we actually play with.
Right. Our regular group.
Yeah, the Place City of Heroes with, and we have our own private forum where we talk about things, and one of them had posted a topic to talk about TV shows that we kind of grew up with and kind of like now, and had lumped it in as TV shows and
board games.
Mm-hmm. And so I had started thinking about board games that I'd grown up with mm-hmm. in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple nights ago on Twitter, it had gotten very, very late. And actually, it started off with one comment. Mm-hmm. One guy said, oh my God, they have action figure-sized TIE bombers.
Right.
And I always wanted a TIE bomber when I was a kid. That's no fair. Which made us kind of start thinking about a lot of the things that the kids have these days that we never had. So
couldn't even imagine.
Much cooler things. And then the differences between then and now. And it kicked off this whole nostalgia kick
mm-hmm.
of, well, you know, we did have some pretty cool stuff. And so we started thinking about things that we did have. And so the conversation started off with Star Wars, since, you know, the TIE bomber thing. And somebody, well, one of the guys said something about that they needed more ships. I wish I could have had a Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said, well, I did have a Death Star play set. But it wasn't like a giant sphere that you carry around like it's, you know,
right
in space. It was the interior of the Death Star.
Oh.
And it had like three levels. And there was like the little power conduit thing that you could make your Obi-Wan walk around because he has to turn off the power to the tractor beam.
Of course.
And my favorite part, there was a trash compactor in the bottom.
Every boy's dream. I know.
So you could trap Luke and Leia and Chewie and Han in there.
Yeah.
And it had little foam pieces of trash to compact. And it had a crank. And you cranked and the wall smooshed all the stuff together.
Can I just say that I wish this was a video podcast because you have such glee. Your eyes are sparkling. You're so animated. It's just adorable.
That was my favorite. It was the trash can bed. And even had the little green monster with the one eye that can stick up.
Wow.
And I also had the land speeder, though I didn't have any of the spaceships. And so one of the guys on Twitter had brought up a site called Bug-Eyed Monster, and it had all of these different things that just really brought these flashbacks of toys that I didn't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't realize I remembered.
Right.
Until we looked at this site.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Star Wars led into the $6 million man, and he was like a, I don't know, 10-inch, kind of, yeah, similar to the old G.I. Joes. And,
right.
But you could, he had a hole in the back of his head.
Oh, I think my brother
And you put your eye in the back of his head and you could see through his bionic eye.
I think my brother might have had
and
one of those.
It was like telescoped, only that's so teensy tiny that it didn't really.
I know my brother had the Karate Chop G.I. Joe thing.
Mm-hmm.
Action G.I. Joe or something. I don't know. He and Barbie used to get into it. I'm sure he would go to jail now.
Yeah. Now, one toy that did not come up in the discussion on Twitter that I didn't realize until I was looking at a different site that I played with a lot, and I don't remember exactly what ages it was, but it was called the Family Treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tree, a big plastic tree.
As it sounds like it would be.
I don't know, a couple feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you pushed a button on top, and the top canopy of the green leaf tree popped up. And then it was like the treehouse.
Uh-huh.
And there was like three different rooms, and you had little people that you could do, you know, walk around in the little rooms, and at the bottom there was a little swing, and there was a little mm-hmm. bush that opened up that the family dog could hide in. And they were like Weeblos or something.
Mm-hmm. Or like those little Fisher-Price things.
Yeah, I guess it was probably.
That sounds familiar to me. You know what, I have to say that when you said that this was, you know, this is something you were excited to talk about because of the conversation in Twitter,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of like not that enthused mm-hmm. because for some reason, and you know my memory, I have this really weird memory where there's some things I can remember to such sharp detail,
mm-hmm.
and there's like whole huge gaps of things that I have absolutely no recollection of. So when you said toys, I was like, oh, I don't really remember that many toys mm-hmm. from when I was a kid, and that whole thing with my memory kind of bothers me. So I was mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I want to reach back and not be able to remember anything. So it was, when you talk about that treehouse toy, it makes me think it sounds familiar. I don't know if it was something that I had or something that my sister had growing up, because she's 9 years younger than I am. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I remember is stuff that she played with. Mm. And so maybe a friend had it. I mean, it sounds really familiar, though, but I don't know if I had one because it's like in that whole little black hole of my memory. But then there are things I really remember loving, like color forms. Do you remember color forms?
Yeah.
Being a girl, it was always, paper dolls. I never really liked paper dolls because the stupid little outfits always, like, all you had was a little paper tab mm-hmm. to fold over this little thing, and it always fell off. But the color forms, everything would stay, and I really loved my color forms much more than paper dolls. So
now, when you first said that, it made the first thing that popped in my head were Trinky Dinks, and those were totally different. Yeah, I remember the color forms.
They were the little plastic pieces that we mm-hmm. would lay onto. And of course, my very favorite one, the one that I really remember having, was a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs from the Disney movie scene, and I really loved that. And Shrinky Dinks I also loved, but that was one of those rare things that mom didn't really like you to do because it was, you had to go to so much trouble, so it was like once every year or two maybe you would get to make Shrinky Dinks. So that was cool, but always kind of anticlimactic also, I mm-hmm. thought. So what else, you got?
From the Bug Eyed Monster site.
Bug Eyed Monster site.
Was the Alien, from the Alien movie.
Mm-hmm. They made a toy. Of course they did.
And it was like 12 inches high. It was really tall. I didn't have it. One of my best friends had it.
Okay.
And it was the Alien. And
that was one totally scary creepy thing.
And its mouth opened.
No.
And the extra set of teeth came out.
Oh, man,
pulled
a
lever
that.
On the back of its head.
I really hate that.
It was a rated R movie. What the heck were they making Alien toys for?
Well, look at what they make toys for now. They make South Park toys.
I guess it's one of those things where, you know...
I sound really old saying that because they've been making South Park toys for 10 years.
No, it's like when your parents look back at their childhood and say, you know, it was an easier time.
Yeah.
Things were so peaceful and nice.
And here's your Alien toy.
Yeah. And so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess in the past there always were things that were horrible for kids to ever have.
Oh, yeah.
That you just don't realize it. Yeah. Another on the spaceship front was called Starbird, and it was just this spaceship, white, and it had, you push a button on the front and little lasers. But the coolest thing about it, and I actually didn't have it, one of my other friends had it, but you could disassemble it and make different shaped ships out of it.
So
you could take the front
off
and then take the back off and make a really stubby ship, and or just the front by itself. And that was a pretty cool toy, and a couple of the guys online had remembered it too. One of my favorites and a real entry to geekyhood.
Well, you sound like you're pretty much entrenched in geekyhood with your list so far. Other than the little treehouse family, this is pretty much solid geek territory. But you go right ahead.
It was pretty normal back then. I mean, that's what was in the media. I mean,
baseball, football, those were.
Oh.
Yeah. See, I grew up in a small town in Texas. You look at you laughing. See, it doesn't even enter into your mind. That's the funny thing, is that, you know, the general mindset of the world. Well, okay, yeah, a lot of the guys that played football and baseball all day long in the summer and all that stuff, they went and saw Star Wars, but that wasn't what was on their wish list. It was new gloves. It was bats. It was...
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that, babes.
It's like a revelation. So...
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
In this level of geekitude...
This next one, level.
The next level was...
Right.
I had the big track. And the big track was this very big tank-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
A big vehicle with a laser in the front, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The big thing about
it... Why else would a boy want it? A big truck without a laser? Whatever. That's little kid stuff.
The coolest thing about it is it was programmable. So instead of like a remote control car, you would actually program it to go forward a certain amount of space and then turn a certain amount of degrees and then go forward again and then turn again.
So that
again.
Just really fed your mind.
So you could program its path through your house.
Right.
And there was an accessory that you had to buy that I had called the transport. And the transport was basically like a trailer that hooked onto the back of it. And you could put stuff in that, program it to head through the house somewhere, and then dump whatever the payload is.
Wow.
And I remember in the commercial, it was like, it brought Dad an apple or something.
That wouldn't have worked with my dad. He would have said, I wanted coffee.
And then it made me realize, a month or so ago, the Logo programming language had its anniversary. It's like, I think it was the 40th anniversary.
Wow.
And it was something that introduced a lot of kids to programming. And the Logo program, you had what was called the Turtle, and you would program it to go forward a certain number of spaces and backwards and turn a certain number of degrees and go forward again. And then it would drag a little pin behind it. So you'd tell it, you'd tell it to go to a certain position on the screen, tell it to put the pin down, and then it would drag the pen a certain distance and turn. And you could make geometric shapes, different colors and things. And you could do really, really crazy stuff because it was a programming language where you could have these go-to loops and stuff and incrementals and all this crazy stuff. But anyways, the Big Track, when I realized it, it was kind of like it was the Turtle. And you could tell it to go forward a certain number of spaces, turn a certain number of degrees, go forward, shoot the laser.
Of course. Shoot the laser at Dad if he wouldn't take the apple.
And I hadn't realized that until now, that was kind of like an introduction to programming.
Right. Yeah.
As a kid.
Again, I say, small town in Texas, never heard of it. Never knew anybody that had it. No clue what you're talking about.
Well, another more mundane would be the Stomper 4x4s, which is pure boy, non-tech.
Remote control car?
Non-geek. No, not even remote control. You had a little switch on the bottom. You turn them on and all four wheels just go. And it would just, you could not stop those wheels. And it would
just. So it would take off and you would have to just wait till it stopped moving?
Well, I mean, you'd set up little tracks for it.
And oh, okay.
Stuff for it to run into.
So I'm just picturing like what it would have been like in my neighborhood where you would have been outside playing and it would have just gone shooting across the street and dog chases it. And
it wasn't very fast because it was 4x4 geared really low to climb stuff for power. So
gotcha.
It wasn't that fast. But there was a whole bunch of different styles, lots of different bodies. And so kids would have just collections and collections of these little things, but these little kind of foamy type tires, and they would just grip and climb everything.
You make me feel so low tech in my childhood. I feel so very, very low tech.
And one thing I remember wanting, a friend of mine, his dad was into pretty high tech. So he was like the audiophile, had the super duper rockin' 70s stereo with a bajillion watts. He had a big screen TV, like a projector way back when, with the big three tubes, the big red, green, and blue sticking out the front. But so he would get the Sharper Image catalogs that just crazy technology in them that were really, really expensive. And there was a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And, looking back, it was probably $300 in the 80s. But it was just the coolest thing. It would do all kinds of stuff. It could do, I don't think it had voice commands, but it had like a remote to tell it to go certain places. And it showed it like serving drinks and, just crazy cool robot stuff.
Right.
And I wanted a robot so bad. And I remember asking my dad for it. I want a robot, I want a robot, I want a robot. And Christmas came and my dad had bought a Radio Shack robot thing.
Ah, yes.
It's like
a knockoff.
It was like plastic feet with wheels.
Mm.
An inflated body.
He tried.
That sat up like 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And a remote control with basically two buttons.
Yeah.
It would go forwards. It wouldn't turn.
No, by Lord.
It would go forwards. But you hit the other button, it would go backwards and turn at the same time. So as you go forward and then back, forward, back, you could kind of make it do a UE. And
you were brokenhearted.
Start going forward again. Yeah. And it's something that I've actually looked back on every couple of years, maybe even every year, when I think about presents and I think about my son and our kids. And I feel so bad because kids generally don't hide their emotions very well. Yeah. I probably made him feel like crap. I probably did. I remember playing with it.
Yeah.
I blew it up and I had it on the street and I played with it. But at the time, I remember, I wanted this $400 robot that made martinis and did whatever. And the blow up Radio Shack thing showed up. And wow.
It's the horror. It's that horror of being a parent where you want to do everything that your kid wants and you can't. You can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, well, and remember we were upstairs a little while ago and I was mm-hmm. making up my list and I was like, I said something to the effect of thinking back on childhood toys is just so painful. It's just so much. There's just like, oh, there's these things like what you're talking about with the robot. And it mm-hmm. reminded me of something with my dad and my brother when he was little. And it was just like, I hate thinking about it. It just gave me anxiety because here I am trying to shop for the boys oh, now right. for Christmas. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to break their hearts, you know. Ugh, it's awful. It's just, it's tough. It's tough being a parent because you want to make those dreams come true, but yeah. you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just know that they tried.
So another robot I ended up getting, which wasn't really a robot, was the 2XL.
Blank stare from me. I don't know.
It was a little robot that's that about this high, and it was actually a game.
I will say the first robotic thing that I can remember was like Teddy Ruxpin.
So that was pretty advanced. This was a precursor to Teddy Ruxpin, really.
Well, it sounds like it would have been.
Because it didn't move or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, where Teddy Ruxpin was animated.
Right.
It was just a little plastic robot, and it was a game. It was a quiz game. You bought these 8-tracks, and the 8-tracks had trivia questions on them.
That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, and it was pretty crazy how they did it, because they must have had the 8-track, like, cut into a million little segments.
Yeah.
So it would, and it was real, you know... I remember at the time it was some famous comedian that did the voice or whatever. I don't remember who it was now. I probably should have looked it up, but I remember it was supposed to be somebody famous and I don't know who it was. But anyway, so he would ask these questions, these trivia questions, and then he would give you a choice, multiple choice, you know, press 1 for this answer, 2 for this answer, 3 for this answer, 4 for this answer. It's an 8-track.
Right.
So it would ask the question, you push the button, and then you would hear this computer noise because it's calculating your answer. And then it would say whether you got it right or not. And because it's that on the 8-track, it's familiar. Going to the right, you know, the right, right place on the tape when you hit the buttons. And so I had all these different cassettes that I would stick in it. And then I remember growing up and becoming a teenager, realizing that it was just an 8-track player. So I'd slap a Rush tape in it and you could listen. His little eyes would light up.
Perverting your childhood toys.
We'll talk about, well, I probably shouldn't.
Probably
what
shouldn't.
People were doing with Teddy Ruxpin's. Just recently, within the last couple of years, there was this resurgence of Teddy Ruxpin's. Because the way it worked, you know, normally cassette tapes are stereo.
Mm-hmm.
So the Teddy Ruxpin just had the one regular track was just the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the other track
was the movement.
Was the little computer commands. Well, somebody took that tape, decoded the little bits and bytes, and figured out what all the commands were. So started releasing custom stories for it that would make it move in time and everything. So it was kind of cool. It's like, you know, hacking your Teddy Ruxpin to do these open source stories. So you download basically MP3s of different stories, record them on OTape, and, you know. But, of course, people made rather inappropriate things.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Moving on. That XL thing sounds familiar. I had a friend that had some money. We didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up. So, you know, we weren't destitute, poor, or anything like that. But, I mean, that kind of stuff... didn't even hit my radar. I don't even... But see, that again could be that whole black hole thing. My brother might have had that kind of stuff, and I just don't remember it. No, I don't know.
Says it's sad. I was like, well, you are a girl. So...
What?
You probably didn't get real excited about robots and...
Well, you know, on my little list, the start of my list is a lot of it is stuff that I played with my brother, because he's, you know, 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of playtime together. We were, you know... I would sit down there with him and we would play with those orange tracks, the Hot Wheels tracks. Remember those big long ones? They used to be a lot softer than they are now. They were easier to move together. They had those little red, they look like tongue depressors that would hold them together. And it just seems like you could do a lot more with those old tracks than like the ones that I've bought in recent years for the kids. So that's one of the things on my list, that G.I. Joe and Barbie, and you know, he had a Jeep, and you know, it was... So a lot of the stuff I did play with him, but I don't remember. There's just a lot of stuff I don't remember. So,
yeah.
I mean, that stuff that you're talking about could have very well been in his toy box, and I just don't even remember.
One of the last ones I had in here was an Evel Knievel motorcycle.
Oh. You know, and he just passed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so it was this metal motorcycle with this plasticky, rubbery Evel Knievel, and his hands would go on the front of the bike. And the thing about it is it had this base that you would put the bike on top of, this little launching ramp, and you would have this hand crank on the side, and you would crank it, and inside was this big, heavy-duty flywheel. So as you start to crank it slow and go faster and faster and faster and faster, this flywheel would just end up starting spinning really, really, really fast, which corresponded to a gear on the bike.
Right.
And then you hit a button, and boom, all of that energy went into the bike, and it would just take off, like, so fast. And you'd set up all these crazy jumps and stuff, and half the time, the Evel Knievel would fly off it
because
of the impact. And a lot of times, he would just kind of flip over to the front, and his back would grind against the front tire. But
no. Poor Evel.
That was just so much fun because they were so fast. And now you think about it, how dangerous they must have been because they were solid metal die-cast metal
shooting
across the street at 20 miles an hour.
Right. Well, maybe it's that same kind of technology on some of the Hot Wheels sets that I bought for the boys, where there would be this little enclosed thing and you'd get it all geared up and fired up, and then you'd let it go and it would go and it would misfire and it would never go through the loop-de-loop or anything like that. So,
and I had a bunch of different board games. And I didn't know if you had board games too or not.
I have a couple. I guess the toys from that I can remember, as I've said, the youngest that I can remember would be probably a Baby Alive doll. I don't know if any of you girls out there remember. And it was just basically this little, little cherub-faced kind of a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And it came with, if I remember correctly, it came with these little packets, and you would mix them with water, and she had a little bowl and a little baby spoon, and she had little diapers, and so you would, you'd feed her this slop, strawberry or whatever that you'd make, and it would go through, and it would come out in her diaper. And I don't remember the diaper part. So it's not like I was traumatized by I don't remember, like, what it looked like when it came out or anything like that.
I remember commercials for them.
But I mean, I was like, this is under the age of 8. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how old I was. But I had it, and I really loved her. And we had a dog, and he was a wonderful dog. But I left my Baby Alive outside at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back out to get her, Blackjack had eaten her face off.
Ooh.
And so, not her entire face, but like her cheeks. Maybe she smelled so good from the slop or whatever it was that I fed her. But her little cheeks were ripped off, and you could see this little, in my mind, my adult mind thinking back, it was this very, intricate tubing and, pathways and stuff. It was probably just like a white tube or something that led down to where it would come out. But it was just so traumatizing for my baby's face to be ripped off. So, And then the next doll that I remember having was called a Polly Pretend. And you won't know what I'm talking about.
No.
But it was just this little girl doll. And she had long brown hair. And she had these different outfits. And she had this little makeup kit. And I wanted it so bad. And it was not my birthday coming up. There was no Christmas coming anytime soon. And I was desperate for this doll. And my mother was always so proud of me. She told me this, like, throughout my whole life. She was so proud of me because I was, I don't even know how old I was. I don't even know if it's anything to be proud of. Maybe I was 14. I don't know. But no, I'm kidding. It was when I was a little girl. But I saved up my allowance. And I went, and we went to the PX. And I put it on layaway. My very first layaway, and I would go in there with my little wallet with my little allowance, and I would pay on the layaway until I paid her off, and I bought it myself, and she was always so impressed with that. And so that was my own big first big purchase, so that was cool. And then, of course, the color forms I loved, and Barbie and G.I. Joe, my brother's G.I. Joe, used to play together. And I had, of course, like probably every kid other than you high-tech kids, I'm sure you had something much fancier than us little normal kids running around, was the little portable record player.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like this whole little self-contained little stereo, cool thing, and you could just play the records anywhere you wanted. It had a little pocket where you could put your little 45s and stuff in, and then you could play it anywhere, and I just love that. And I remember, and this is another story my mom used to tell me about. Again, it was when we, and I can tell when it was before, but not exactly, because we lived at this one house until fourth grade. And then after fourth grade, we lived at a different house, and I lived there until I graduated high school. So this was before fourth grade sometime, probably I was 5 or 6 from the way she used to tell it, is that I would have, in the summertime, we'd have the windows open and I would have that record player going and I would be just yelling. I would be singing out so loud out the window this song called Delta Dawn. I guess Anne Murray or somebody sang it. And I had that record and I just played it over and over and I would just howl out the window, Delta Dawn, just yelling as loud as I could. So apparently I had that for a long time because I remember having that in junior high too, that same little record player.
Wow.
So that's something I really remember.
I'm looking for a good cultured podcast. The Culture Cast, Spelled with two K's. I think I should give it a listen anyway.
I see runway shows, and they're like basically wearing a hefty bag with a sharp angle at the shoulder. And I'm like, who the hell wears this stuff?
Oh, I know what happened. The new porn titles came out.
No.
I've looked at a couple Garmin GPSs, and I know I got a chubby.
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me, but the iPhone so does.
Yes.
So does.
This is far from cultured. Culturecast.com with your 2K spelling. I say bully.
Relax. Sit back. Take a load off. Let Biscuit and Susan Z kick your ass with culture. Culturecast.com with 2Ks. Because that's how they roll.
I remember, well, as a lower, as a smaller kid, I remember there was the toddler version that had these little yellow and red and green discs that would play
those,
you know,
hard plastic records.
Yeah. And there was a Fisher Price record player, and it really played
it
the
did.
Songs. And it was like Baa Black Sheep or something.
I remember those too. My sister may have had those, or maybe
that was the first thing I thought of when you said it. But I also remember.
It's like a little super
traditional player.
Yeah.
I remember in my 20s, I was at a garage sale and saw a little red and white Fisher Price phonograph, and it was like $5.
Nice.
And I bought it, and it so it played regular records.
Uh-huh.
And it had a little built-in speaker. It took D-size batteries. I remember my girlfriend at the time, we would take it to like picnics.
Uh-huh.
In the park and have our records.
It's so cool.
And I remember I was in my 20s, so I remember going partying at the beach, drinking some beers, playing some GBH or Megadeth or Minor Threat or something.
On your Fisher Price.
Fisher Price.
So awesome.
And everybody else thought it was just the coolest thing. You could have a record player out on the beach.
Yeah. That's so cool. Well, and then, of course, we had, I remember, and this was a traumatizing, when I say thinking about this, you know, childhood stuff can be like hair-raising, we had Sea Monkeys. Did you ever do the Sea Monkeys?
I never did Sea Monkeys. I had an ant farm briefly, but no Sea Monkeys.
Oh, that reminds me of something else. Oh, hold on. But we had Sea Monkeys. I can't remember if it was my brother having them or me having them. And I don't talk about my sister much on this stuff because, again, we had a 9-year age difference.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I was, you know, done playing with this stuff, she would start.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of layover, crossover, I guess, time for us. But my brother and I had a lot. So I don't remember which one of us, my brother or I, had the Sea Monkeys. I do remember crystal clear. We had this, like, it's hard to explain, like this window ledge in between the dining room and the kitchen in this house, pre-fourth grade. And we had the little Sea Monkey, you know, fishbowl there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were teeny tiny. You were able to just see them. They had grown a little bit, but they were still just basically dust specks in this bowl of water.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was in the house bouncing the basketball like he was not supposed to be doing in the house. What's the rule? Not in the house.
Yeah.
Well, the basketball hit it, and all the sea monkeys died in our carpet. And it was just like, no, you know, because at that point, you don't get that they're just brine shrimp.
Right.
And then that's all they're going to be. Because the picture was always like a dad with a little pipe and that whole thing. Do you know how many millions of children must be traumatized by that advertisement?
Yeah.
Because all of us had our hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come true for any of us. And most of us had that same thing happen. They ended up in the carpet, and you worried about, you know, the corpses of your friends, you know, laying under your feet. Oh, gosh, that was just one of the cruelest things they ever did to kids, I think.
I remember.
And then, of course, there was the Christmas. And in my mind, and I'm probably wrong, but in my mind, the same Christmas where my mother said, which I've said on a previous show, where our family tradition was bacon cheeseburgers mm-hmm. for Christmas dinner. In my mind, looking back, it's the very same Christmas that she made that proclamation that we got the pinball machine.
Ooh.
That Santa brought us a pinball machine. Wow. And so in our little rec room, pre-fourth grade, we had this, and it was a plastic, you know, what you would expect, you know, a middle income, a lower end middle income family mm-hmm. being able to afford. And it was the most amazing thing. We loved it. We played with that thing all day long. And I don't even know how long, but I know that we had it for years. And it eventually made its way out to the garage, as all things do. Mm-hmm. But that was like the hit. And in my mind, like I said, it's the Christmas of pinball and bacon cheeseburgers, right. which was just epic in our neighborhood.
That would be perfect.
That was. And then, of course, you know, moving into the tweens, I guess, is my older memories. So this is probably post fourth grade. And this was one that I didn't even remember until I was looking through family pictures. Mm-hmm. And my brother had that head to head football game that you and I've talked about before.
Green football.
I don't even know what it was called, but I know it was head to head, and it had two different control pads and the display screen in the middle. And you would literally be head to head as mm-hmm. you played against somebody else. And they don't sell it like that anymore. Right. They only sell the one side of it, which mm-hmm. I think is just lame to me. But my brother got that. He, you know, it's Christmas morning and you can see he's playing that. And then I was playing this thing and I was like, I remember that. I used to love that. What was that? And my first thought was Simon, because I really enjoyed Simon, that game with the lights.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said, oh, no, it's like Merlin or something. And that's exactly what it was. I had a Merlin, and it looked kind of like a really goofy red handheld, you know, cordless phone kind of a thing, looking back on it now. But it had, if I remember correctly, it had these like cards. I don't think they were cartridges. I think they were like little cards that would slide into it. Mm-hmm. And it had different games on it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm wrong, if anybody else remembers, please tell me, because I loved it. But again, long time ago.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Easy Bake Oven, which, you know, it's like a rite of passage. Every girl must get beaten in the face with domesticity. So I had one of those and loved it, of course. And I found this website because you had found one and I didn't want to disturb you and find out what you were searching. So I did a search and found one in the 80s.com/toys or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And came across a couple that I didn't remember. And the one that I went... I remember that was called Fashion Plates. And what it was it was like a little art kit, and it had these plates, and on these little flat plates, they were raised images. Mm-hmm. And there would be a small plate and it would be like a woman's head. And what it was, you would put these things together in this track. And when you put the paper on top of it and you did a rubbing of it, but it was a fashion plate kind of thing, because you could change there were different plates for the head and the hairstyles, and there were different plates for the shirt and different plates for the pants and that sort of thing. So you could, quote, custom design different outfits and stuff like that.
I had the exact same thing, except it was cars, and it was called Little Van Gogh. And it had three segments.
Right.
So the back of a car, the middle of a car, and the front of a car.
Same concept.
And then, so you could mix and match and make hundreds of different...
Right. And then, so you would get a rubbing, and then you could then color it in.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine the number of hours that I spent playing with that silly little rubbing kit, you know, and it was and that's why it was so funny, because I don't remember it at all until I saw the picture of it, and I was like, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for us, a standard... We had a lot of these laying around. It was either those, because when we went on trips, it was road trips. Mm-hmm. I didn't fly until I was 18 years old. That was the first plane I ever got on. You know, we lived in Central Texas and we went to the beach. We went anywhere we went, it was in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So you, of course, would throw coloring books and whatever else you could find at the kids. Well, we had Mad Libs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then also Stuckey's. Do you remember Stuckey's? Do they have those on the West Coast?
I didn't have them growing up, but when I lived in New Mexico.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like the kind of, it's not a truck, it's like a family kind of a rest stop, and it has the restaurant, it has the huge gift shop with stuff to throw at your kids in the backseat.
Extremely slanted roof.
Right, and so that was what we would invariably get, either Mad Libs or those things that would have like the little magic highlighter.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like invisible ink kind of stuff, and you'd pass it over, and then you would get the answer highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all those kind of kits like that, but just like Those were my best friends on road trips because my brother was a pain. He was not a good... Well, we would play like Gin Rummy in the backseat and stuff like that, but most of the time we just fought. And then getting to the electronic games, which I'm really surprised you didn't get into, was, you know, the first electronic game we had was the Pong console. Oh, yeah. Do you remember that? Later. Oh, later. Well, I'm moving into it now because otherwise, once you start talking electronic stuff, it's going to be all over. We had the Pong console, which was just like epic to us. We thought it was the most amazing thing ever, which of course then led to the Atari 2600.
Yeah. I have one in.
We have one of those in storage. And so, of course, we love that, which eventually moved on to the Nintendo. The other board game stuff that I like, though, I really loved Spirograph.
Yes.
Because it was like, it was very, and that's kind of how I am with my crafting stuff, too, is it's there's a set design kind of template thing going on, but then within that, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. And Simon, again, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I don't remember liking, like, Candyland or Chutes and Ladders or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I only remember playing that, like, as an older sister with my little sister.
Okay.
But, like, the Game of Life, that board game.
Yeah.
And, like, Yahtzee and Uno and those. I mean, we played Uno a lot. And Boggle. Remember we were watching King of the Hill? That reminded me. We had a Boggle set when I was growing up, and we played that a lot. Oh, my gosh, we played that a lot. At least in my memory, we played it a lot. But Uno was a big one, and older years, Trivial Pursuit, we played and just laughed. I mean, you could didn't matter how much you messed up an answer. It was just fun anyways. And then my ridiculous toys. Uh-huh. One of my favorite toys of all time that I ever got in my whole life was my talking Pee Wee Herman doll. They came out with this whole big line of Pee Wee's Playhouse toys. And so I got the Pee-wee's Playhouse talking doll and the Cherry. Remember Cherry?
Oh, yeah.
The puppet one. And I still have. Although Pee-wee doesn't work. He was broken long ago. But I still have him and Cherry somewhere in one of these boxes.
Wow.
And so I absolutely love that. And I probably have more toys now than I ever had when I was a kid because I'm a huge Tinkerbell fan.
Yeah.
And so there is Tinkerbell from one end of the house to the other. And I think, honestly, I wonder, like when we were hanging Christmas ornaments, I was looking at all the Tinkerbell ornaments because that's what every year somebody gets me a Tinkerbell ornament. My sister just got me a really beautiful Lennox Christmas ornament this year with Tinkerbell. And I think that it might be my small little raised fist of rebellion in a house where I'm the only female. And it's like, I will have Tinkerbell around all you boys. You know, everything is always, well, it's got to be decorated dark blue. It can't be girly, 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 girly. Well, I will have my Tinkerbell sculpture in the corner.
There you go.
So that's, I mean, I'm really kind of surprised I don't have a longer list. I don't even really remember any big attachments to any specific Barbies or anything like that. It's just like this kind of a dark hole, and these were the things that I was able to come up with. And something like, you know, the fashion plate thing, it surprised me how excited I got when I saw it. Because if you had said, oh, here's a toy, I would have said, oh, whatever. But this was something that as a child I really, really loved. So, yeah. So what did you have for later years?
Well, and I didn't really go by that. Kind of, because I'd still play with pretty much everything.
Give me that XL.
When I was thinking of the board games, I also had Yahtzee and Uno. I played Live now and then, but I wasn't really that into it. I really enjoyed Mousetrap.
I always wanted to play that. I don't know that I ever really played that. It always looks so fun. Maybe we should get that. It's probably not as good a version as it was when we were
probably.
A kid. They probably made it so safe. Taking all the fun out.
I never really cared for Monopoly.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever finished a game of Monopoly.
Really? Well, I have finished Monopoly games. Yes. But it's not something that I live for.
But I remembered loving the Mad Magazine game.
I don't remember
which
that.
Which was laid out the exact same as Monopoly. Only the goal was to lose all your money.
Oh, that's way more fun.
And it had really goofy cards, like, you know, kind of like the community chest or whatever. So you'd get one of these and it would be like, sit on this card, flap your wings like a chicken or your arms like a chicken and see if it hatches. Crazy stuff like that.
Oh, man.
And that if you didn't do it, then you, like, lost a turn or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So you had to do these crazy things. One that I remember was Jaws. There was a Jaws game. So there was the plastic great white shark. And his mouth had a rubber band. And you'd open his mouth, and then you put all of this debris in it. So there's like little chairs and little stuff.
Yeah.
And then each player had this little fishing pole, and you'd fish one of these things out of his mouth. And as things came out, the tension on the rubber band would hit a certain point, and jaws would slap shut.
Oh, wow. How
traumatizing. And lost because it got your fishing ball. And another R-rated movie, monster creature movie.
Wow.
Board game for kids.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Well, they were thinking they'd make money. Thinking they'd make a lot of money. And I'm sure they did.
Yeah. And I remember Battleship.
Oh, yeah. That was great for road trips.
Yeah. And one of my friends ended up getting an electronic Battleship, so which was kind of silly because it really didn't do that much.
I didn't. A friend of mine had that, and it was
sounds and stuff, but...
Yeah. It was that maybe I had aged out of my you know, boyish toys phase. I don't know.
There was a game that I loved playing called Crossbows and Catapults. Mm. And it was...
It was a
set
game?
That it was a physical game that you would set out on the floor, and each player built their own little quote unquote castle. But so it was these little building bricks to build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But they've sat really loosely, and each of you had crossbows and catapults that were rubber band powered, and you had these tokens that these really heavy kind of like checkers that you would stick in the catapult and pull it back and fire and try to take out the other guy's wall.
Hmm.
And then, so the catapult would launch these things at it. And then they have these expansion sets you could add to your crossbow and catapult kit. So me and some of my other friends would build up these big giant walls and
wow. You know, I wish I had thought to have my brother come over and do this with us, because I'm just, some of these things sound kind of familiar, but I don't know if it was a commercial that I think, or I think he would probably be a good memory bank for me.
Yeah.
Because that sounds kind of familiar, but again, it might have been the commercial. I don't know.
So I decided that I wasn't going to go over video games because they're so...
Oh, that's like a whole...
Yeah, such a big...
That's a huge piece. Thing.
But... honorable mention of video games.
Gosh, okay.
I'm not going to go over the history. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
Just one observation.
Okay.
Last year for Christmas, we got a Wii.
Yes, we did.
And it's been a great system.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Kids love it.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. And recently, I fired up the Wii Virtual Console, which lets you buy old games.
Right.
And play them on your Wii. It downloads them and stores them on its internal memory, and then you can play whenever you want.
Right.
And it's just really funny that I had downloaded Punch-Out, Super Punch-Out, Excitebike, and Tecmo Bowl, all from the original Nintendo system.
Right.
And the kids play it like crazy.
I know.
T has been playing that.
Yeah.
He's been playing Tecmo Bowl.
I know.
More than he plays the brand new
Madden.
Wii Super Duper football, where you actually throw the controller like it's a football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, when we had the Christmas party...
Mm-hmm.
My brother and my sister's husband, Tecmo Bowl. I mean, they went insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
And one of them was jamming on the punch out and remembering the combinations. Oh, I'm ready to beat this guy. This guy was tough. But so, yeah, just a little bit of game nostalgia on a new system.
Yeah.
And how much fun those old games still are.
Absolutely.
Even for the kids who had never seen them before.
Right. And the other thing that's really cool is that they have the old style Nintendo controllers for the Wii.
Yeah,
we bought those
classic controller plug-in,
which I think just adds to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was really cool.
So that's all I had. That's
that was
plenty.
A lot of toys, and I was worried that we weren't going to have enough to talk about. I was like, toys.
Yeah, we're back into the hour territory.
We may have to split this. You may have just heard this in two parts. If it was in one part, we appreciate you sticking with us for that long. We're really impressed. If you have any games that you really enjoyed that we didn't mention, or if we triggered a memory that of a toy that you loved, give us a call. Our number now is 413-669-4665. 4720. We'd love to hear your thoughts, or send us an email. Send us, attach an audio comment to an email. Send it to
intotheblender@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you, and maybe you'll remind me of some games that I, some toys that I used to enjoy.
And write it into theblender.com. You can click comments on the post.
Yeah.
And then you can put, write in a quick little comment there.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat on that stuff. As always, we appreciate you listening, and we hope you had a good time down memory lane with us.
Yeah. Hope everybody has great holidays and some new fun game toy memories to go with this year.
Yeah.
You light the suns in all my worlds. It's hard to believe.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel. Sally.